Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells, and I'm sorry, I was reading a note from Uncle Ed. So, Jared.
Yes.
Can you hit it, please? Okay, so the sport of the week, and we're stretching the definition of sport just a little bit, is giant Jenga.
I found that article you asked me to find, and I don't think we're stretching it.
No? Okay, so Jenga is a game, which we're calling a sport, out of building blocks. And it's a great outdoor activity. And there's a small one that's about the size of a box of crackers, right?
About that, yeah.
About the size of a box of crackers. So saltines, right? That square box. It's about the size. That's the tabletop version. But there is now an outside giant version. And you want to put it on a fairly stable surface so that it doesn't fall over. But the idea is it's a pile of 54 wooden blocks. And you have to pull the blocks out and pile them on top and try to make the pile as big as possible. And when the pile collapses, you lose. Right? Is that basically?
That's basically it, yep.
Okay. Now, why you found that information? Why is it considered a sport?
Well, first argument, it's an activity or pastime. Jenga involves physical skill, especially giant Jenga, where the blocks are obviously a lot bigger than the tabletop version. Involves hand-eye coordination, fine motor skills. It can be you play in competition with another person or another team.
So, and those are some of the things that are required to be considered a sport, right?
Yep.
So it fits in the broader definition. And it does require skill. It's not just a game of chance. Some people are better at it than others. And if you had an engineering degree, it might be helpful, or an architect's degree. But it's a lot of fun. And you can buy the kits. Did you find? I mean, they come in different sizes. There's different manufacturers. The original game was created by Leslie Scott, and was Leslie a he or a she? I don't know. Was created by Leslie Scott, the co-founder of Oxford Games Limited. And Leslie Scott was a she, because it says here it was based on a game that evolved within her family in the early 1970s using children's wooden building blocks that the family had purchased from a sawmill in Ghana. And the name Jenga is derived from Kujenga, a Swahili word which means to build. And so she started it. I don't know what other games. But you can buy, how much did you find, how much the big sets were, Jared?
Big sets range from around $50 to about $100. A few of them are of better quality blocks, can run you about $200, but generally about $50 to $100.
Okay, and you can do other things with these blocks.
Oh, yeah.
You can do... some of them you can buy colored sets, and the different colors, you can attribute different things to the different colors. You can write messages on some of the blocks so that if somebody pulls out a particular block, they are then required to do 20 sit-ups or dance in a circle or something. You can make up anything you want and you can write it on the blocks. And again, the colored ones can mean something too, either that you have to do something or you get to tell somebody else to do something. So you can vary the game based on whatever tickles your fancy. But I know that there is a thrift store, my favorite thrift store that I like to go to, that has giant Jenga set up. And if you get to pull out one of the blocks, it has a discount on it for how much you get that day.
Oh, nice.
So, but you have to pull it out successfully. If you knock it down, you don't get the discount. So you have to pull it out. I got 20% once. That was pretty good. So there is that. But you said you found some place where it has instructions for making your own.
Yeah, there's an article on a website called creativegreenliving.com that has step-by-step instructions for making your own giant Jenga set.
Are you gonna try it, Jared?
I'll have to bring somebody a little bit more handy to the hardware store with me.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way.
But it doesn't look like it would be that hard. I mean, it was originally – one place I read said that it was originally made out of alder wood, and that we're in at a mill where the alder trees were considered junk trees and were just removed. And so all the alder wood was pretty much just trash. So they salvaged the alder wood and made Jengas out of alder wood. So you can make them out of just about anything. But the more work you put into it, the better it would be, just like pretty much anything else in the world. If you sand them nicely and smooth them, they'll probably slide in and out easier and less likely to get splinters, that kind of thing. But I don't know if there's any big time competitions for Jenga, but I do know that the longest playing game took 28 hours before it collapsed.
Wow.
And did you find the tallest one? Because I know the sets tend to start out about a little more than 2 feet when you put the 54 blocks in the giant Jenga set together. But the tallest one was
40 stories with 2 blocks into the 41st level. And this is a record that's gone unchallenged since 1985.
There you go. All right. Well, that's Jenga, a great game for outside, something, again, for the family. When you buy the set, they usually come in a nice canvas bag to tote them in, and a great family sport for the backyard. All right. So we are going to go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Steve, who's still on the air from Morristown. Hey, Steve.
Still here.
Okay, good. So I looked at this picture, and I have to say, I'm completely confused. Very nice house in the background, but I'm not sure what
that's
I'm looking at. It looks like a jungle. Is that your house?
No. It's my neighbor's house. Peggy, what I did was I cut the bush down, and then I put it in my truck, and I have to bring it to the dump.
Right.
Yeah, you can't kind of tell from the picture, right?
Well, it's kind of just looks like a jungle. I can see some significantly dead branches sticking out the back of the picture.
Yeah, everything's been cut down. It's piled in my.
Is this what your wife wants gone?
She wanted that gone, and then to transplant the hedges into where they were. Yeah.
Well, I don't blame her for wanting this gone. This is what I would consider butt ugly, Steve.
Yeah,
So just take it away. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And start something new. But maybe put something flowering in there. Is it a sunny spot? It's hard to tell from the
bathroom. No. It's pretty close to my neighbor's house. It's very shady. Yeah.
Okay. If it were me, I would definitely consider oak leaf hydrangea.
Oak leaf
hydrangea. Yes, it's very shade tolerant. It flowers. It's relatively low maintenance. It has kind of a little bit of a wild growth habit, but it's easily pruned, not difficult to prune. You just cut off a branch or two and it'll bring it way down. But but it'll flower in the shade. But almost
anything. Can you get like a white one?
They bloom with white flowers. The oak leaf hydrangea doesn't come in colors like the colored one. And it gets very large leaves that look very similar to an oak leaf. So that's why it's called oak leaf hydrangea. And it gets pointy panicles of flowers. So instead of it being a round ball, it comes to a point. And the foliage turns bright red in the fall. It's a nice plant for a shady spot. And I just planted one in my woods, so, you know, to back it up. I really do like them. And I had one right by my front door at Blooming Acres before it burned, and I loved it. It was always a very dependable bloomer. I liked the sculptural shape of it, that it wasn't just a round bush. I like that. Mm-hmm. You can shape it in different ways. And it's really generally pretty easy to grow.
But does it kind of fill out by itself?
Yeah.
You have to plant.
It starts out small and it grows. It grows relatively mm-hmm. quickly, but it's a good plant for the spot. But that thing that you sent me a picture of, that's got to go. Yeah. I agree with your wife. That's got to go. That is bad news.
Yeah, it was bad. Peggy, a couple other questions, if I could.
Sure.
I've never planted onions, and this is the first year I have them. When do you pick onions?
After the tops dry up.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wait
till the tops dry up. Yep.
Tops dry up, really? Yep. Okay.
Yep. Now, one of the things about onions, Steve, is that the earlier you get them in the ground, you see, in the spring, as the days are getting longer, just like everything else, with onions, as the days are getting longer, you generate a lot of top growth, a lot of leaves, a lot of foliage, and they get nice and bushy and leafy. And the later you plant them, the less leaves they get. So that as the tide turns and the days begin to get shorter, you get less leaf development, but that's when the bulb starts to expand. Just like you plant tulip bulbs in the fall, and you plant and you fertilize your lawn in the fall to develop root growth. As the days get shorter, roots grow. So as the days get longer in the spring, you get leaves. And then as the days begin to get shorter is when the onion bulb develops. So the thing is that the more leaves you have, the earlier you plant, the more robust the foliage is, the bigger the onions will be. So you want to leave the onions as long as you can so that all of the nutrients in the foliage go down into the onions and make big, giant, fat onions. And then after the tops completely die, that's when you harvest them.
Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Well,
I wouldn't kid you, Steve.
You mentioned the flowers. On these onions, they're just, shoots coming out of the ground. They're, I don't know, 16, 20 inches or something.
Okay, that's good. You don't want them to flower. They don't flower the first year. They usually flower the second year. So you don't want to leave them in the ground. So you want them to grow, and then you harvest them. And if you miss a few, you might get them to flower next year. I've had that happen with leeks. When I grow leeks, I don't always harvest them because I usually harvest them in the fall, and I don't harvest all of them. And then in the spring, they come back and they flower. And when leeks flower, leeks flower, they're spectacular. They're really quite showy.
Okay, so I have a raised garden. I can't plant anything there next year then, obviously, if I leave them in the ground?
Well, if you leave them in, but why would you? If you're growing them to harvest, you're going to want to bring them all in, and you can braid the tops if you want.
Okay. All right, good. Other question was, I have about four cucumber plants. I only got two cucumbers.
Patience, Steve.
Really? Because these two just came right out, and I see the little shoot, but they've kind of dried up. So,
well,
is it because the leaves are so big they don't get any sun?
No. I'm not sure. There is a disease that gets on squash family plants called blossom blight, but I don't know if that's it. Do you see any little tiny baby cucumbers?
I started to, and then they just dried up.
It might have been the change in weather that it got really, really hot. It's a possibility that they would have shriveled up. But you'll probably get more. Cucumbers are pretty prolific, so you'll probably get more. Just keep your eyes out because there's the boy flowers and the girl flowers, and you have to have both in order to get cucumbers.
Oh, I don't know the difference.
Yes, you do. You don't know you do, but you do. The flowers that have just plain old stems are the boy flowers, and the flowers that have baby cucumbers at the base, those are the girl flowers, and you have to have both.
I see. Okay. I gotcha. Okay. The last question, Peggy, if I may. I planted asparagus in one spot for 3 years, and this is kind of the first year that it's really come up. How do I know when to pick them?
Well, you missed it for this year.
I did?
Yeah, really? You pick them when they first emerge from the ground.
Mm.
When they look like asparagus, that's when you pick them. So you harvest, that's why they're available in the stores in the spring. Locally, they're available. Because when they emerge out of the ground, you cut them when they're about 9 inches long, and you harvest them as they come out of the ground continuously for, 3 weeks or so, and then you stop, and then you let the rest of them grow, because just like everything else, you need the foliage on the plants to grow all summer to replenish the roots so that the roots are strong so that they can make new shoots next year. So you can't just keep harvesting or you'll weaken the roots. So you harvest for about 3 weeks and then you're done.
So should I just leave them?
At this point, just leave them.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. Peggy, I can't listen to your show every week, but do you happen to have podcasts?
Yes, we do.
Shows?
Yes, we do. I'm going to put you on hold because I have a few people that have been holding on for a while.
And Jared
will explain to you, right, Jared, how to listen to the podcasts, okay?
Very good.
All right,
you have
a great day and happy 4th.
Oh, you really enjoy your weekend, Peggy. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, can we take a little break? All right, and we will be back after this.
Updated by the forecast for this evening, it's going to be mostly clear and comfortably cool with lower relative humidities and some excellent sleeping conditions overnight, 60 to 65. On the holiday, 4th of July, on Independence Day, Monday, look for sunshine, highs in the middle to upper 80s, northwest winds at 5 to 10, partly cloudy at night, 67 Tuesday, clouds and sun with the possibility of some late day showers or thunder showers, all the way up to 88 on Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Fox Sports, New Jersey.
Hi, this is meteorologist Steve Pelletieri of Ion Weather Research. We've been researching weather conditions in the Northeast for over 45 years. I'm a board-certified and consulting meteorologist and president of Ion Weather Research. You hear our reports daily, and I want you to know that Ion Weather is here for you. We're experts in site-specific weather research reports for law firms and insurance companies and anybody who needs to know what the weather was. We've provided thousands of reports and testified in court hundreds of times since we began operations in 1975. If you need our service to detail past weather information anywhere on the globe or snowstorm totals for current or past winter seasons, email us at research@ionweather.com. That's research@ionweather.com or call us at 973-983-8222. That's Ion Weather, 973-983-8222. Ion Weather Research. We make the weather work for you. Legal and insurance weather reports. 973-983-8222.
Boost your mood in New Jersey. Surprise yourself with new wonders. Stroll beaches and boardwalks. Discover places to dine and catch up with friends. See inspiring art, culture, and history, too. Savor sea breezes and explore all the treasures nature has waiting for you. Rise to the call of adventure or catch a wave into the ocean blue. Find it all at visitnj.org.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open, 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Okay, welcome back to The Garden Show. Jared, you still hanging in there with us?
here. Yep.
Yeah, you're here. That's good. All right. You've been doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff today.
Yes.
Giving out information about podcasts and information about how to listen in online and other ways. Very tricky. All that stuff that I'm not so good at. So we're going to go over to South River. Who do you think we're going to talk to in South River?
It's our pal Andy.
It's Andy from South River. Good morning, Andy.
Hello, Peggy.
How you doing today?
Happy Independence Day. When I think of independence, free-spirited friends, I immediately think of Peggy Ballester House.
Well, thank you, Andy. I appreciate that. You have any big plans? Oh, you're going to have like a barbecue at your new house or a little 4th of July celebration at your new house?
We actually are still in the preparation phase, as we all know, like your story earlier. You really want to make sure you plan and figure out the best way to do things. I had a fail with my lawnmower earlier this year, and I know that feeling of just, yeah, and you've been there where you're just hitting yourself in the head. It's like, how could I be such a doofus?
Yeah, things happen all the time. You do the best you can, but, you know, sometimes mistakes made. So you just pick up and you move ahead. You do the best you can from there on. That's all you can do.
And that's the beautiful thing about gardening. If you mess something up, it grows back.
Yeah, it does. Or you put something new in it. When something dies, it creates a spot for something new and interesting. So you just keep on going. Everything keeps on growing, for sure.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, you know what, Andy? That's really cute. I have these massive tree trunk pieces in my yard. You may remember them. And they work very well as an alternative seat if you want to plop down, or they work really well as side tables that you could just leave out there. You know, you don't have to worry about them. And right in the center of one of these tree trunk pieces, and they're big, they're massive, they're probably 2 feet across, is a little plant growing right in the center. Absolutely determined that that plant wants to grow, and it's going to grow in that tree trunk. Just an indication of how, when there's a will, there's a way. Those plants want to grow, they're going to grow.
It is pretty remarkable, the you know, trips along our highways, and you see the plants growing up through the cracks in the cement, and you just marvel how every single living being wants to live.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Some of the things along the highways are pretty great. And my favorite experience with that was when I was on a very busy circle. You know, those circles are death traps. They're so scary, trying to get on, trying to get off, getting off at the right exit. And my husband was driving and I was in the passenger side. So I was looking out. And as we whizzed around the circle, there in the crack between the pavement and the curb was a 2-foot-high sunflower in full bloom.
And you made him go around 3 or 4 more times.
A couple. We did go around again, but I didn't have a camera with me. But that was the most impressive possibility ever of a plant deciding, I'm going to grow here and I'm going to be beautiful and I'm going to thrive in a crack on the edge of the circle. It was pretty cool.
Well, certainly Monmouth County is the home of those dangerous circles. We don't have them up here in Middlesex County.
Well, there's quite a few in my neck of the woods, for sure.
Yes. Well, before we get to huge tree stumps, but my huge oak trees on the west side of my property, they are a concern of my neighbor to the west. So I figured you've probably been in this scenario. They're saying, look, either trim them back or remove them. Well, obviously, the second option is certainly not an option. And I've looked at my plan of survey, and I'm about 90% sure that both of these oak trees, Peggy, they are on my property. So before I respond, I need sage wisdom.
Okay, a couple questions. Why do they want them removed?
They think that in a storm. Now, it's been pruned back on their side before, and I've analyzed this. There's only maybe one or two branches that could potentially fall and hit their domicile.
Okay.
And I would contend that's the reason, Peggy.
Well, how healthy is the tree?
Those trees are as healthy as any tree in the neighborhood. And they are magnificent. They're majestic. They provide the shade that helps my lawn stay beautiful.
Okay. Here's my opinion. You don't want to prune on the one side exclusively. If you prune again, make sure that they prune the whole tree so that it doesn't get lopsided if you decide to have it pruned again. If they're oak trees, they're less likely to fall over than, say, maple trees, because oak trees have a taproot, like a carrot, like a giant carrot, that keeps them very secure. Not impossible, of course. And if there was dead wood up in the tree, that would concern me. If there are big gaping holes in the tree or if the bark was peeling, that would concern me. But as long as you respond responsibly and make sure that, you know, bring a tree expert in and get their opinion and maybe do a little light pruning, you wouldn't want anything to happen that they could hold you responsible for. You know, so that if you neglected the trees, they could hold you responsible. But according to most insurance, trees falling are considered acts of God and are the responsibility of the person whose house they would fall on. So if your tree, as long as you did not neglect it, if there was a case of neglect, my neighbor has put up the big ugly building and changed the grade of the ground, and all the trees around that are slowly dying. And every time there's a storm, there's another branch that comes down. The trees themselves have not come down, but he has not pruned them or taken down the ones that are 90% dead. And if those trees fell on my property, I would have a case of neglect. That he neglected, he killed the trees by all the construction, and then he neglected to take care of the trees as they were dying. But if the trees are healthy and you take care of them and the trees fall, they're not your responsibility. I would check your insurance policy to be on the safe side, talk to your insurance people, but my understanding is if they're, as long as you take care of them, you don't, they can't force you to take them down.
Well, I don't want to be the neighbor that tells my new neighbors, hey, go suck eggs. These are beautiful oak trees. They have a tap root. They're not going anywhere. I think that your concerns about these trees falling on your house are a bit misguided and erroneous. But, you know, I want to have happy neighbors.
Of course, that's why I'm saying bring in a tree expert. Have them evaluate the tree. Have them do a little bit of light pruning. Make sure that pruning is balanced, some on both sides, so the tree doesn't become top heavy. And that would be an indication that you were being responsible and that you listened to what they had to say and you brought in an expert and had some light, had whatever the tree people, make sure you get a certified tree expert to come in and evaluate and then do a little bit of selective pruning to keep them happy so that you will have been paying attention to their concerns and not ignored them. And that you came to the conclusion that you did more than was absolutely necessary and that the trees are healthy and that you addressed their concerns. And that way they'll have felt that they were heard, and that's reasonable.
And if they were to bring in a tree person and cut the branches of my oak trees from their property, then I could cry foul.
No. If they were to cut the trees, they are allowed to cut what extends over onto their property. So the trunk may be on your property, but the branches that extend over onto their property, they can cut them up to the property line. That's
why. And what if they say, okay, we want to cut them, but we want the big machines to come in onto your property and mess with your lawn?
No, I don't think they have a right to do that.
Okay.
I don't consider myself an expert in the law aspect of this, but I do know you're allowed to cut up to anything that extends over onto your property. I once heard a tree expert say that it's never been clarified if the tree straddles the line, if the trunk of the tree straddles the line, if they were to cut the trunk, which extended onto their side of the tree, of their side of the property, which would kill the tree, if that's legal or not. I never got clarification on that. But if the trunk is entirely on your property, they can't touch the trunk.
And what if because these trees have grown, there's an eighth of the tree that I learn is on their property? What happens then?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If the trunk goes over the line, there's no, I don't know the ramifications of that. But the tree is mostly on your property, and as far as I know, they can cut the branches up to the property line. That part I'm sure of, but beyond that, I can't help you. And if they cut all the branches straight up to the property line, the tree's going to be completely lopsided, and you may end up wanting to take it down anyway, because then it will be tilting towards your house. You need to keep it balanced. But again, if it were me, I would bring in a tree expert and have it shaped and pruned and taken back a little bit to alleviate their concerns, and then and try to be able to keep the tree.
Okay, on a happier note, the tree stump is, oh, massive planning, Peggy, how we're going to do this tree stump. You're familiar. It's about 12 foot tall. The measurements have been taken for the round top. Now, just like you were mentioning, at the round top, there is a little indentation with little plants growing up. So we're probably going to take a chainsaw and cut it down maybe another maybe 14 to 18 inches, so it's a nice clean cut, flat. I am looking at every kind of bird house, but we're looking at a 36-inch. It's going to be a birdie playground, Peggy, and in the middle there's going to be this birdhouse that's like a clubhouse.
Okay, I definitely know the tree. I definitely know what you're talking about. But the details of the shape of the tree are kind of fuzzy in my head. But is it possible, instead of cutting the top, could you do some, okay, now you're going to think I'm really nuts, some carving in there and maybe save it and make the top, all the nooks and crannies in the top, instead of making it flush, do something with it to make it like a natural birdhouse?
Well, that's why we call the garden show, to get new, exciting, original ideas. And I think that's a terrific idea, Peggy.
Well, the idea of cutting it flat concerns me a little bit, because once it's completely flat, then water's going to sit there and penetrate down in. So if you were to make it flat, I would suggest that you seal it on the top with something so that it will repel water. Because it will sink in. But whereas if it, you know, if it has more of a pointy shape, then the water will be more inclined to run off. But if you fill all the holes, you know, if you open it up and make it a birdhousey thing, then you can always cut it off later if it begins to rot. But I think that would be kind of fun. I'll tell you something cute. This is cute. On the side of my house, which, as you know, my house is purple and it has white trim and some teal colored accents, but a lot of white trim. And at the gable, where the roof comes to a point, there are horizontal boards that create kind of a triangle of wood in the corner. I think there's like five, like 1x6 boards that go sideways, and they're painted white. And mm-hmm. they go down to the soffit. There's like a soffit underneath that. Well, under that, hanging on the wall, is a teal-colored birdhouse. And there have been birds going in it for a couple of years now. I may end up replacing it next year because they get shabby after a while. But there's a teal-colored birdhouse. And I was watching thinking, oh, those birds are going into the birdhouse. And so I walked around the side of the house to watch the birds going in and out. They weren't going in the birdhouse. There is a hole in the lowest one of those boards, one of those horizontal boards, and they went in the hole, and they're in that little space created by the little triangle of wood with the soffit and the hole in the triangle wood pieces. And they're living in there. They got a whole little apartment complex going on in there. So,
birdies are remarkably smart, as in avid birdie watcher and I guess ornithologist. I am always stunned. Everything you need to know about the human family, you can find in a bird feeder.
I believe that is correct. I have been watching them, and I just have to smile. When we had the house redone, I thought repeatedly I should have that board replaced, you know, because it should just be replaced. It has a hole in it, but we never got around to it. And there were so many other things that were more important that we just painted it and left it. And it was the original board that was up there. So we left it. And now there's birds living in it. But I've also been watching, this is another thing bird related. You know, I've been out in the blueberry patch a lot lately, and I had noticed yesterday that the deer had come by and they ate some of my daylilies, which they ate all of them last year. So I'm hoping to salvage some since I'm out there more this year. Maybe they won't eat all of them. But there is a crow and a mockingbird that are having a running battle, and they squawk at each other all the time. And they haven't eaten any of the blueberries, which is why I thought they'd be in the blueberry patch. They haven't touched any blueberries that I've seen. But that mockingbird keeps dive bombing that crow, and they're squawking. And I think, Andy, they're squawking in four-letter words. I think they are really cursing at each other. And then I go out there and I yell at them, and they fly away and they go up to the wires right above, and the crow sits on the wires and the mockingbird dive bombs them. But they've been very active, and they're there every day. The mockingbird must have a nest nearby that I haven't seen, because that would explain it. But why there's only one crow, I don't understand that either. But they're very enthusiastic in their activities.
But isn't the crow kind of like a super heavyweight, and the little mockingbird, he's just a welterweight?
Yeah, that is correct. But that mockingbird, he is tough stuff, and he is dive bombing that crow. He's a third of the size of the crow. But he
could it be argued that he's mocking him?
I think he is.
I'm sorry, I laugh at my own jokes.
Well, that was a good one. You're allowed to laugh at your own jokes.
Okay, well, yes, it's the blue jay. Blue jays rule. They are the biggest. If the sparrows are there, they make way for the blue jays. The cardinals, so stoic. They just sit at the bird feeder, and it's like, look at me. I am beautiful.
Yes.
And they peck at the food a couple times. But literally, the cardinals, they're just sitting there to look good.
Well, and they do. They do look good. And they're bigger than a lot of the little sparrows. Not quite as big as the blue jay. But, you know, we kind of take cardinals for granted. But I did take ornithology when I was in school. Was obviously taught by an ornithologist, a person who actually does study birds. And he said that the cardinal, while we take it for granted, if it was in any other part of the world, would be considered a magnificent and exotic bird to look at. But we see them all the time, so we take them for granted. But that they are, in the bird world, one of the great beauties.
Have you ever noticed how the juvenile males, man, are they red and shiny and glowing. And I love watching the little juvenile males doing their thing with the young juvenile female cardinals. It's all just fascinating.
It is. And then, of course, there was Georgian Ethel. Georgian Ethel came to the dogwood tree outside the master bedroom at Blooming Acres for many, many years in a row. And they nested in the dogwood tree that was right outside the window. And George, at a certain time every day, as the light came around, he would see his reflection in the window, and he would attack the window every day at the same time. And I could see Ethel yelling at him. She would be there. Say, George, it's just your reflection. Could you please calm? Like, she's got her wing on her hip, and she's like yelling at him, like, George, come on! I need help feeding the babies. Could you stop that, please? Already, I need some help over here. I mean, they came back for years, and then we put the addition on, and Tommy and I moved upstairs, and that became Kira's room. And I don't know how many years afterwards George and Ethel came, but they came 3 or 4 years in a row. And I swear she had her wing on her hip yelling at him almost every day. Come on, George, get over it already. But it was pretty funny. George and Ethel.
Well, you've just made tens of thousands of people smile on a Sunday morning, Peggy. Thanks for sharing.
My pleasure. All right, Andy, I got a couple more callers and we're running out of time, so let me go.
Okay.
You have a great day, and I'm sure we'll be in touch, okay?
All right. Happy Independence Day, Peggy and Jared.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye.
All right, and we'll be back after this.
It's time for planting. Just visit the Garden Center at Fama's Nursery, Route 27 in Somerset, for the best quality and best selection at the best prices in the area. Stop by Fama's for their customer appreciation truckload sale, celebrating over 60 years. Save big while you spruce up your yard for family gatherings, graduations, or fun get-togethers with friends. It's easy with their colorful variety of annuals, perennials, and beautiful hanging baskets just bursting with color. Come see their Tropical Paradise selection, plus a great selection of vegetables and herbs. If you can't wait for your veggies to grow, stop by now for fresh produce, Fama's famous Jersey tomatoes, and watermelons. And don't forget, Fama's has fresh baked pies daily, even firewood for your fire pit. Stock up and save at the Fama's Nursery Customer Appreciation Sale today. Call 732-545-8070 or visit online. Open daily 9 to 6. Fama's Nursery and Farm Market, supporting local growers and Jersey farmers.
Fox Sports Radio New Jersey is looking for the best sports bars to catch all the games in New Jersey. Where do you and your friends meet up to catch all the games while knocking back a few brews? We want to know. Head to FoxSportsRadioNewJersey.com now to nominate your favorite spot and see if it's crowned the best sports bar in New Jersey.
Trust American Tire and Auto Care's 8 convenient locations for all of your car, truck, and SUV tire and service needs. Free lifetime tire rotating, mounting, multi-point vehicle inspection, and more. Auto service and repair to keep you rolling. Buy 3, get 1 free on the most affordable tires of the season. See stores for details and exclusions. Offer expires July 31st. Visit AmericanTires.net for more information on all of their services, and don't forget the coupons page.
American Tire and Auto Care.
It was long ago, back in 1904, that the Barty family planted their first crops in the rich, fertile soil atop the Watchung Mountains in the little town of Warren. And with each passing year, families near and far shared in the bountiful harvest at Barty Farms. Today, Barty Farms still offers your family the best of everything. Farm-fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh baked pies and breads, international cheeses, gourmet and organic food items, Dewey Meadow chicken pot pies, and What's the Scoop ice cream. Barty's now has fresh-picked white corn and tomatoes, strawberries, cherries, peaches, plums, nectarines, and watermelons, all to make for the perfect holiday picnic. Barty's now carries all your backyard chicken supplies and feed. Barty Farms Garden Center has everything you need for your gardens. Pottery, cedar mulch, decorative stone, and more. Mention you heard it on the radio and get $5 off any hanging basket. So load up the kids and come on down to the farm this weekend. Barty Farms is on Washington Valley Road in Warren and on that newfangled internet at BartyFarms.com. Barty Farms, over 100 years old and still growing.
Hi, this is meteorologist Steve Pelletieri of Ion Weather Research. We've been researching weather conditions in the Northeast for over 45 years. I'm a board-certified and consulting meteorologist and president of Ion Weather Research. You hear our reports daily, and I want you to know that Ion Weather is here for you. We're experts in site-specific weather research reports for law firms and insurance companies and anybody who needs to know what the weather was. We've provided thousands of reports and testified in court hundreds of times since we began operations in 1975. If you need our service to detail past weather information anywhere on the globe or snowstorm totals for current past winter seasons, email us at research@ionweather.com. That's research@ionweather.com. Or call us at 973-983-8222. That's Ion Weather, 973-983-8222. Ion Weather Research. We make the weather work for you. Legal and insurance weather reports. 973-983-8222.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. Barty Farms still offers your family the best of everything. Farm fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh baked pies and breads, international cheeses, gourmet and organic food items, and Jersey dairy milk. Barty Farms, 118 years old and still growing. And we're going to head over to Sayreville and say good morning to Donna. Hey, Donna, how you doing today?
Hi, Peggy. How are you?
I'm good. What can I do for you?
Okay, I called you like 2 years ago about the sycamore tree that got uprooted from a storm. Well, I took the tree down. Of course, it was very upsetting at that time, you know, but I don't know if you recall that. Do you remember that?
You would not be the only person to have called me about trees that have fallen down, and it's always upsetting when you have to take them down. But when they fall, they're scary. So
I know. Okay, now I have another problem. I have another sycamore tree, and it's being infested with these lantern flies. I don't see a nest anywhere, but they seem to be crawling around the bottom of the trunk and crawling up the tree. Now, I was recommended to spray the Bug Be Gone spray. I use that all around the trunk, around the ground of the tree. The tree is like, you know, quite about 40 feet high, but I just sprayed all the bottom and the trunk, and the span is about 5 feet in diameter there on the bottom around the trunk, and it's not doing nothing.
Okay.
Can you recommend anything?
I'm going to tell you something that Nancy discovered as a way of catching them, which works pretty well. She uses them on the nymphs, but I think you can use them on the adults as well. You get yourself two of those electronic tennis racket-looking things that are bug zappers.
Yeah.
And you catch them between the two. Because they tend to hop and fly, you need to use two so you catch them. They can't hop away. And that is a pretty effective mechanical way of getting rid of them. So
where would you put them, or, you know?
Well, they're around the tree or around the branches. You just kind of try to catch them in between the two, slap them together, and wherever they're gathering, around the stems of small things in the area. If they're just sitting on the trunk, I suppose you could try whacking the trunk with the thing, but you really want to try to catch them between the two bug zappers. And other than that, if the Bug Be Gone didn't work, you may want to try it again. But they are a serious problem. And as far as I know, that there isn't anything else that's recommended. But I will do a quick check and see what you can do. Do you have a lot of ailanthus trees around there?
A lot of what trees?
Ailanthus trees.
What is that?
Tree of Heaven. It's the primary source of what the lantern flies like. They're drawn to the ailanthus trees.
No, it's funny because we have woods behind us, but they're all oak trees back there, and they're not on those trees, but they're on my sycamore tree.
Well, lots of insects have favorite trees that they like, just like the gypsy moths. They really like the oak trees. So they obviously prefer your sycamore trees. But here's the 10 tips for getting rid of lantern flies. Smush the bugs, which was, you know, you can do it by hand or you can use the electronic bug zappers. Keep a spray bottle of insecticidal soap handy to spray lantern flies on contact. Capture them in a bottle. Use a shop vac. Wrap your tree with sticky paper or duct tape. You wrap it with the sticky part of the duct tape on the outside. You don't just put duct tape on the tree. You put the sticky part on the outside to catch them, which would be very similar to using sticky tape. Use sticky paper judiciously, kind of generally in the area, and you can spray the weeds that are growing around it with vinegar if it's growing in an area where there's a lot of underbrush. That's the thing that's listed. 10 tips. See, they don't even recommend using a lot of insecticide.
Hmm.
So,
well, all right. I mean,
and it says right here, October 23rd, 2021, the most effective way to kill a spotted lanternfly is to squish them. So, again, you know, try those bug zappers. I think that might be a good approach.
Good approach right there. Oh, well, I can't believe this.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad.
I see, like, they're black and white. I think that's the nymph stage or whatever. Now they're trying to turn red, I see.
Yeah, the red's the adult stage. But you, the bug zappers, Nancy swears by the – I haven't tried them. I don't have them where I am yet. I'm sure they'll get there, but I don't have them yet. And she swears that the bug zappers can get multiple ones in each shot. So give it a try.
Like that. And do you have time for another question or –
Real quick, because there's somebody else holding. Go ahead.
Okay. My forsythia bushes. I have a very big forsythia bush in the front of the house, and it's not doing well at all. I see a lot of dead branches. There wasn't many flowers this year. Usually it blossoms, like, fully. Like, it's so wild that, you know, I have to prune it or whatever. But this is, like, the third bush now. Like, the two bushes in the front, one died. I had to take it out. The second one was a forsythia bush. Now that one's not doing good either. Now it's to my big bush. I don't see what's going on here either.
Well, you may want to cut it back real hard and fertilize it and keep your fingers crossed.
And what kind of fertilizer would you use? Like
just regular, maybe balanced fertilizer, a little 10-10-10 should be fine, or 5-10-5, something to give them just a little bit of a boost. And I wouldn't fertilize them right now. You may want to, because we're coming into the hot weather, so you don't want to push them too much, but I would prune them now and then fertilize them in the spring.
Fertilize in the spring, next spring, you're saying,
yes,
right? Next spring?
Yes, but you may want to cut them back now so that whatever's stressing them, you take some of the pressure off, get rid of a lot of that dead old growth, and shape them a little bit. You know, take off some of the growth, off the pressure off the roots, see if you can't save them.
Does that have anything with anything, gain too much water or anything like that to for this, or bugs? Or?
I lost a couple forsythias myself, and I had no really good explanation, but I replaced them, and they're doing fine. So could have been weather-related. But, you know, give them a pruning and to take the pressure off and shape them, get rid of all the dead, and keep your fingers crossed. Forsythias are pretty tough, so they usually do bounce back. Not always, but usually.
Okay. I just want to tell you this. We had no rain here at all. Not a drop.
What, yesterday?
Yeah, nothing. Oh. Not a drop.
The sky opened up and poured on me, so that's all right. It gave me a break. I got in, went inside and was able to hang my curtains, so I got something else done.
And the tree that I took down, I left the stump there, you know. And now this year, it's just like it's just blossoming with almost a branches, like from the roots, like, you know, around the stump, like, sort
yeah,
of.
Sure, the trees will do that. The energy stored in the roots will encourage new growth.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Peggy. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye bye now.
Okay. Bye bye.
All right. Well, we're going to go to Old Bridge. Hey, Joyce.
Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. I am going to run out of time, and Sharon is to follow you. But if you guys would just, you know, hang on, I will be happy to answer your questions off the air. I'm sorry we didn't quite, you know, get it time in. But are you willing to do that? Hang on, and I'll answer your questions off the air?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's
Thank
good.
You.
All right.
All right.
To everybody,
yep.
I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go away. Okay, to everybody out there, have a happy, healthy, safe 4th of July. Please, if you're playing with fireworks,